One of the things that every leader and every person, I would dare say, can be sure of is that there are those who are simply diehard supporters of you. And then there are those who at every move are your critics. No matter what you do, they know better than you. It's never good enough. Or everything that you do is simply wrong because you did it. Sometimes the critics just don't like it because it came from you. Nobody wants to be criticized, but it's almost impossible to avoid criticism. Would you not agree? I don't know who made up the phrase, sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt you. That is not true. Words can wound. And perhaps you've experienced something said or done that has deeply hurt you. It amazes me the amount of cyberbullying and criticism that happens on social media platforms. It was interesting to me, several years ago as a church, we made a decision to try and rid our local community of pornography. And it became local news. And it was amazing to read the comments that were being said about our church, and particularly about the pastors of our church. It was interesting to notice how people could criticize individuals that they didn't even know. Didn't know their heart, didn't know their motive, didn't know their intention. Perhaps you've been attacked by a person's words, and you know the depth of pain that is associated with that. Or maybe you've been physically attacked by someone, verbally assaulted, cussed out publicly, and everything in you wants to lay down your religion and bless them out in Jesus' name. And use a few choice words yourself, right? Have you ever been there? If you've ever had to deal with critics in your life, you can identify with the biblical account, the life of David, that we'll look at today. So how is it? How do you respond to critics in your life? I mean, how have you responded to those who have brought criticism towards you in the past? 2 Samuel chapter 16, I think, is kind of an obscure passage of scripture, but I believe God teaches us something valuable about how to respond to our critics that could maybe grow us up a little bit, mature us in our walk with God. And instead of taking our religion off, which I don't know what that means, but instead of taking our religion off, perhaps let us clothe ourselves with Jesus. So here this text tells us, this text informs us about the life of King David. David is king over all of Israel. You all, we have been going through, you know, seven parts of this series, and we've looked at the fall of David, and last week we talked about the violence that would now indwell his household and all of what he would experience, and ultimately this idea of his son Absalom overthrowing his kingdom. Violence is in the house of David. Absalom is trying to overthrow the throne. And there are those who have been taken by the charisma of Absalom. And there are those who want him to now be king instead of David. This incident in 2 Samuel chapter 16 records what happens as David begins to leave Jerusalem. See, here's what's going on. Absalom is trying to overthrow the throne, and David makes a decision and a choice. Instead of killing his son, he chooses to flee and to leave Jerusalem. David was no doubt at a low point in his life. I mean, can you imagine your own son trying to overthrow you, trying to take the throne that God has given you? Can you imagine what David is experiencing? He's at a low point in his life. And David decides that he's going to leave Jerusalem. Here is the anointed king of God, fleeing with some of his men, fleeing with him, those who are on his side. And along the journey, as he is on his way out of Jerusalem, there comes a man who begins to verbally and physically assault David, a man by the name of Shimei. Shimei. 2 Samuel 16 tells us that as King David approached Bahurim, a man from the same clan as Saul's family came out from there. It's important to identify that. He's a Benjamite. His name was Shimei, son of Gera, and he cursed as he came out. He pelted David and all the king's officials with stones, though all the troops and the special guard were on David's right and left. As he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. So in those first few verses, Shimei, son of Gera, was part of King Saul's clan. It's important for you to understand that he was a part of the family of Saul. Shimei is in Israel, and he doesn't like David. In fact, he has a significant issue with David. And sometimes when we talk about our critics, it's people who criticize us, not necessarily because of who we are, but they criticize us because of who we're not. And this is Shimei's issue. Shimei's issue is that David isn't Saul. That Shimei doesn't like the fact that David has come in and taken over the throne, that God has placed David on the throne instead of Saul. And he has an issue with David, saying that David, first off, you're not Saul. And because you're not Saul, God has come against you. You're a murderer and a scoundrel. And he says to David, Saul died because of you. Now, Shimei doesn't have all the facts right. Because what we know is that Saul, in fact, died on his own sword. That Saul, in fact, killed himself so that he wouldn't go into enemy territory. But because David isn't Saul, Shimei has an issue with David. It's also interesting to see how confident Shimei is as he hurls these insults to David and as he throws stones at David and his men. It's interesting how confident he is while David is in a place of weakness. Now, I'll tell you, you'll really come to discover if people are for you or against you when you're in your weak moments. When you are in a place of weakness, it really begins to tell you who's for you and who's against you. And here Shimei has all the confidence in the world. Imagine telling the king, you're a murderer. He has great confidence in attacking David. And in the things that he says and the accusations that he brings against David are accusations that are exaggerated, but there is a kernel of truth in them. David was, in fact, a murderer. David did, in fact, have blood on his hands. But it wasn't the killing of Saul. Last couple of weeks, we talked about David actually taking the life of Uriah and David, in fact, being a murderer. But there was some truth to what Shimei had to say. As we look at God's word and as we begin to walk through again what appears to be an obscure text, watch what happens. It says, as he cursed, Shimei said, get out, you murderer, you scoundrel. The Lord has repaid you for all the blood you shed in the household of Saul, in whose place you have reigned. The Lord has given the kingdom into the hands of your son, Absalom. You have come to ruin because you are a murderer. Verse 9, then Abishai, I love this. Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said to the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over and cut off his head. But the king said, what does this have to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? If he is cursing because the Lord said to him, curse David, who can ask, why do you do this? David then said to Abishai and all his officials, my son, my own flesh and blood is trying to kill me. How much more than this Benjamite? Leave him alone, let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. Couple of quick insights here. Here's the first thing. I mean, this is like crazy. This is crazy. David is on his way, leaving Jerusalem. He's walking out. He has his supporters with him, several of individuals, a part of his army that's going with him because they're for David. And as they're on this journey, this guy comes out, starts cursing at David, using all types of profanity, starts talking to him and insulting him and throwing rocks at him, all kinds of things as David is trying to leave Jerusalem. And in the midst of all of that, David says, don't touch him. So here's my first point when it comes to responding to your critics. All right, this is a tough one. Are you ready? Choose not to retaliate when you have been wronged by another. Choose not to retaliate. All right, y'all trying to swallow that, right? Choose not to retaliate. Everything in you wants to retaliate, right? Talk back, people. Yes, everything in you wants to retaliate, but David walks in restraint. And I think this is interesting. At no point, at least in this part of the narrative, does Shimei acknowledge that he's wrong. At no point does he ask David to forgive him. At no point does he acknowledge that he has even done anything sinful or improper. And David chooses not to retaliate. Within the heart of David, David makes a conscious decision to forgive. David makes a conscious decision to restrain from retaliation. David gives up the power and the permission to retaliate. David gives it up. He gives up the right to retaliate and to pay the person back. That's what forgiveness is. It's when we make a promise not to hold the person accountable for their sin against us. And this decision is a costly decision. This decision to forgive is costly. And oftentimes it comes at the choice and the decision that needs to be made when the feelings have to catch up with it. Can you not agree? Shimei curses David. Now, here's what you need to understand, and I want you to write this down. Exodus chapter 22, verse 28, basically says that you are not to touch God's anointed, that you are not to do anything against God's anointed. The very word of God says that the king should be protected. The word of God says that you are to die if you were to do this. So the word allows for death to happen as a result of what Shimei does. And David has the authority. David has the power. This is the king. David is a warrior. This is the same one who slew a giant. He could have taken Shimei out. But he exercises restraint. And he could have been killed. And Abishai, David's friend, David's buddy, David's ride and die, says, let me take him out. In fact, he says, let me take his head off. See, I like friends like Abishai. Abishai is the friend who went with David when David went into the cave of Saul, and he went into the camp of Saul, and David had the opportunity to take the life of Saul. Abishai was right there. He was the only one who was with David. He was the one who was right there, and he said to King David, God has given you favor. You can take this man. And David says, you don't touch God's anointed, even if he's right or wrong. David exercised restraint when he could have done something and probably should have done something. He chose not to. Choose not to retaliate when you have been wronged by another person. Notice how David responds, because this is really interesting to me, how David responds. Instead of allowing this to become a moment of despair, David sees it as a moment to hear from God. Instead of seeing it as a moment of despair, he sees it as a moment to hear from God. David said, this is verse 11, David then said to Abishai and all his officials, my son, my own flesh and blood is trying to kill me. He says, I got bigger things to think about and to worry about. I need to prioritize. This criticism, this critique is not of a high priority to me. I got other stuff going on, and that's where I want to focus my attention. But leave him alone. Don't execute him. Vengeance isn't to be in my hands. It's to be in the Lord's hands. And then David says, it may be that the Lord will look upon... Let me go back. How much more than this? Benjamite, leave him alone. Let him curse, for the Lord has told him to. Wait a minute. The Lord has told him to. It may be that the Lord will look upon my misery and restore to me his covenant blessing instead of this curse today. What is David saying? David is telling us that God has the ability to even use our critics to bless us. That God has the ability to take the cursing of our critics and to use it for our good. So here's what David is saying. David is telling you and I, God is telling you and I today, not to ignore what God might be teaching us through the criticism of others. That we cannot ignore what God might be teaching us through the criticism of others. Listen, Shimei didn't have it all right, but there was a kernel of truth in what he was saying. And David was more interested in hearing what God had to say through the criticism of Shimei. Are you listening? That God, in fact, can speak to us even through our critics. David has seen and understands the sovereignty of God. David understands and even in this moment gives a nod to the fact that God is in control of every circumstance. And even when criticism is at its height in our lives, God can take that which was intended for evil and use it for our good. He's done it before, and we believe he can do it again. And this is where David finds himself. David operates in a space of restraint. And what type of lesson for you and I? Instead of allowing anger to get the best of us, David steps back and takes a moment and says, okay, what's true that's being said here? And what is it that God is trying to communicate me? What lesson is God trying to teach me? So maybe God is trying to teach you to not respond to everything in anger and to walk in restraint. Maybe God is trying to teach you that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Maybe God is trying to teach you that vengeance doesn't belong in your hands, but belongs in his hands. Maybe God is trying to teach you that he is in control, and even when criticism comes, that he can use that to bless you. That God can take somebody cussing you out and make it a blessing in your life. Maybe God's trying to tell you something. Maybe he's trying to tell you something about you. That you ain't as all together as you think you are. And maybe God is trying to help you to understand that your press clip, you've begun to believe your own press clippings. And somebody's got to help humble you and help you to realize that you where you are because of the grace of God. Maybe God is trying to teach you something. And maybe he's trying to remind you of his work of forgiveness in your life and the depth of the grace and mercy of God that you've already experienced yourself. And perhaps God is allowing a Shimei to be in your pathway to grow you up. I used to ask God, why do you keep putting these people in my pathway with these prickly personalities? And they have something to say about everything. And God is saying, first off, I want you to learn to love people like that, because I call you to love not only those who love you, but those who aren't like you. And I want to grow you up. And in order to grow you up, I've got to allow some stuff to happen in your life. I got to allow some critics to come in your pathway. And I've got to challenge you to begin to see what am I trying to teach you. So don't ignore what God might be teaching you through the criticism of others. Don't miss it. You know, sometimes we miss what God is trying to teach us, so he's got to help us teach it, learn it again. Sometimes you can't overcome some of that because you haven't learned the lesson yet. But David was open to hearing from the Lord, even from his critics. Man, that you can hear from God from your critics. Here's the last point. Yep, we're almost done. Verse 12. It may be that the Lord will look upon my misery and restore to me his covenant blessing instead of his curse today. That's this whole idea of God restoring, that God can take the bad and make it good. So David and his men continued along the road while Shimei was going along the hillside opposite him, cursing as he went and throwing stones at him and showering him with dirt. The king and all the people with him arrived at their destination exhausted, and there he refreshed himself. Here's the final thought, that you and I have to trust that the Lord sees our misery. That when we're being criticized, we have to trust that the Lord sees our misery and that he will bring vindication and restoration. We've got to trust that God will bring vindication, that God will make it right, and that God would bring restoration. I just want a few minutes to just walk you through what happens here. God allowed this to happen. And there are times that God will allow things to happen in your life that doesn't feel good. It doesn't make you feel good. And the thing is that you have to understand and trust that when it's all said and done, that God will bring vindication, that God would clear your name, that God would bring restoration, that God would bring refreshment to your life. And what's interesting in this passage is that Shimei didn't just make one insult, but the text tells us that Shimei walked with them until they got to their destination, continuing to cuss him out, continuing to hurl insults, continuing to throw dirt and rocks and stones. He didn't stop doing what he was doing, and yet David continued to restrain himself. David continued to trust in the Lord and to hear what God was trying to teach him. And David continued to believe that God would vindicate him. It wasn't one time that Shimei had done it, but it was over and over again. It puts me in the mind when Jesus says, when the question was asked, how many times should we forgive our brothers and sisters? And Jesus says, 70 times 70, that it should be a lifestyle of forgiveness. And here what David shows us is a man who trusts in God, is a man who trusts in the restoration of God and the vindication of God. How do we know this? As we look at the text, we see David, and we see David not allowing the criticism of others to stop him from moving forward. So many of us, when criticism comes, we don't know where to go. We don't know what to do. Should I keep moving forward? David and his men kept moving forward despite the criticism that was about them. They didn't let the criticism stop them. They didn't let the criticism to sway them in another direction. They didn't allow the criticism to get in the way of the mission and accomplishing what God had called them to do. Stop allowing criticism to take up so much space in your life and in your mind that you no longer have the wherewithal to continue on in what God has called you to do. You've got to keep pressing on, even when people are cussing you out. Do I have a witness in the house? God will repay. God will vindicate. God is greater. And because God is greater, his mercy ought to be extended. There are some lessons that God is trying to teach you and I. I need you to understand that as the story goes on, and even as David gets to his destination, it says that they were exhausted. Listen, I'm telling you, criticism can be exhausting. It can be tiring. Man, we have spent so much time looking at this, talking about this, dealing with this. It is exhausting, but I'm here to tell you that when you trust in the Lord, he'll get you to a destination and a space where refreshment can come. He'll give you what you need when you need it in order to keep moving on. God has been good, and he is worthy of our praise, but he is the one that we've got to place our trust in. He is the one that we've got to place our commitment in, and he is the one that brings vindication. How do I know? How do I know? Well, here's what the text says. Go on over to chapter 19 when you have time later this week. Read over in chapter 19. Shimei, Absalom is defeated. Absalom is defeated, so the overthrowing of the kingdom has been interrupted. Absalom has been defeated, and Shimei comes, and he brings 1,000 Benjamites with him to David, and he falls down on his face and asks David to forgive him. He says, I'm sorry for what I did. I never should have said what I said. Please forgive me. And David made an oath in that moment to forgive him and to extend grace to him. But the story doesn't end there, because 1 Kings chapter 2 tells us that David on his deathbed is talking to Solomon, and he says, Solomon, you know that guy Shimei? Remember that guy Shimei and the one who had done all the things that he had done? I gave him grace. I gave him forgiveness. But Solomon, you don't have to do that. I gave it to him. It was my call to give him an oath of grace, but you don't have to give him that. But even in that, Solomon says, well, I'll give him one more chance. Solomon says to Shimei, he says, as long as you remain in Jerusalem, as long as you stay in the confines of Jerusalem, no harm will come against you. Well, 3 years later, Shimei decides he want to forget the pact that he made with the king. King Solomon said, oh, really? Is that how we doing this? Solomon comes and he says, remember all the wrong you did to my daddy? He says, you remember all of that? The Lord will take your life now. And he was executed. Vindication comes from the Lord. And I want to challenge you to choose not to retaliate. When you have been wronged by another, don't ignore what God might be teaching you through the criticism, and trust that the Lord sees your ministry, your misery, and he will bring vindication and restoration. Now, as I close here, David shows us a picture of Jesus, the king who was cursed, who didn't respond. The king that was cursed. David shows us a picture of Jesus, who when they hurled insults against him and they physically assaulted him with a cross, when they called him a friend of sinners and they called him the despicable, how could he hang around people like that? What kind of drunkard is this man? He's an insurrectionist. When they cursed him out, when they insulted him, when they declared to crucify him and they physically assaulted him, the text says that he didn't say a word. He demonstrated restraint. That's the King that we serve, who died and was resurrected to life, and now gives us the power to respond appropriately to the critics in our lives. So glad for how David continues, and even in his brokenness, we continue to see pictures of the ultimate King. The ultimate King, King Jesus. So I want you to think about those three things, and I want you to struggle this week with how do you do it? By the power of the Spirit. That really is the only way that you can do what David shows us in this text. It's when you have Jesus to enable you. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for the life of David. Thank you for this study and this time that we've spent in 2 Samuel. And God, we look forward to what you have to say in the next couple of weeks as we come to a close in this series. You have been good. And God, criticism is hard. But even in this example, God, we see that even cursing can be used to bless us. God, thank you for the Shimeis in our lives who have challenged us and who have caused us to grow, to become more like you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for how you're shaping us as a community, forming us into your likeness. Now, Lord, I pray against anything that rises up against us to resist your word. I pray that the seed would be received by good ground, that it would be tended to, and that growth would happen as a result. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.